Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the MaterCast, copyright 2018. All rights reserved. Now, here's Jamming Jerry Mater, that's me, with your episode. But first, let's pay some bills and we'll be right back. Are you looking for a great time, but you don't have any music? Well, that sucks. Why not call Mark Jimeno at All Star Entertainment at 989-777-7004. Mark Jimeno has all the latest and greatest in sound, lighting, and DJs to make your party as smooth as it ever has been. So give him a call today. That's Mark Jimeno at All Star Entertainment. You can even ask for me, Jamming Jerry Mater, to come and host your party, if you wish. That number again, get a stick and write it down. 989-777-7004. Don't delay. Call All Star Entertainment today. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jamming Jerry Mater, and this is episode number. Who gives a fuck? Anyway. And I'm Jamming Jerry Mater here with you. It's December the 7th, 2018, and it's colder than fuck outside right now. And I'm chilling at my friend Haley's house right now. We're just chilling out, getting ready for the Christmas party festivities to begin for a bunch of us and our friends. So it's going to be a good time, and I hope you all are having a good time too, and are in the Christmas holiday fucking spirit. And if you're not, tough shit, get in it. Anyway, it's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. I don't know. I'm thinking of a song right now. Y'all want to sing a song here? Everybody likes to hear me sing, but they don't know I can sing better at Christmas carols than I can regular. I'm going to unplug my cable because I feel like I'm tethered, like I'm in jail or something. I'm on the chain. Anyway. Now I'm running backup power. I'm going to turn my backup power on. It's going to make noise. I'm sorry. I know you guys probably get tired of hearing the clicking and snapping sounds, but tough shit. Anyway, I just turned it on. I got full power coming to her. Sorry, guys, about the racket in the background. But this has to happen. It's kind of like when you're listening to a, you know, it's kind of like when you're in a building and somebody sets a fire alarm off. Nobody likes that either, but you know what? It happens. Anyway, so get over it and stop crying about it. No, I'm just having fun. I understand. It's really annoying. I'm sorry. But I got to keep my battery charged on my phone. Because I never know when I need to use it to, you know, call the next girl up and tell her to come on over and, well, you get the picture. All right. And on today's episode, what we're going to talk about? Christmas time! That's one thing. Second thing, getting high. Y'all like to get high? Come on, think about it. Do you like to get high? Seriously. No. If you do, this is your podcast. If not, well, sorry. Anyway. Alright, so. I wish there was a way I could re-record this without using this, putting it by my ear, but this is about the only way I can do it, so if we run out of time, I'm sorry. Anyway, here we go. So the first thing we're talking about is Christmas time. And Christmas time, to me, means something special. Let me tell you a story about a lady I knew that loved Christmas time so much that she decorated everywhere. Well, let me actually tell you two stories in one story about my dad and my grandma. We'll talk about my grandma first. My grandma and grandpa used to live over on Curtis Road in Bridgeport, Michigan, where it was actually the house number 1810. And it was West Curtis Road, actually. But they don't live there anymore because they're gone away. Anyway, so the true story is they always decorated every year for Christmas time. And when I was a baby, my grandpa used to play Santa Claus. And he had everything, the suit, everything. So one day, I was sitting on his lap, and it was Christmas time. We had a Christmas party, and here he was. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas, yeah? You don't do that to a blind guy. That doesn't work. Anyway, he tried to mimic Santa Claus, and I sat down on his lap. This is the last time he ever played Santa Claus. So I'm sitting there, on his lap, and he kept saying, "How you doing? This is Santa Claus, you know." "No, it ain't." He said, "I'm Santa Claus." I said, "No, you're not. You're my grandpa." That threw him for a loop, so every year he had to get a new person for Santa Claus. Because I started recognizing people's voices, man. And that threw him. Oh, shit. Now he knows who I am. Okay. Now I gotta come up with a better plan. Oh, it was funny. It was a fun time. But, I was only 3 when that happened. 3 years old, you know. But I started knowing my grandpa's voice for a long time ago, so I knew my grandpa's voice, and I finally said, "Yeah, that ain't Santa Claus, that's Grandpa." And that got his attention. He's like, "Well, Santa's gotta go now." "Santa's gotta go, kids." "Since everybody seems to think I'm Grandpa, I gotta go now." Yeah. Then the next year we came to the Christmas party and they didn't have a Santa Claus. Because nobody could find anybody to play Santa Claus. Then the next year they hired someone. And that's what they did from that day on. My grandpa had Santa Claus at the party and all the time. There was this one guy I liked. He used to play Santa Claus and he was really cool. And I liked him because he'd come in and play with the kids and have a good time and talk to the kids and what have you. A really kind fella, and he would come in and you could hear in his voice he was happy to be Santa Claus for that day. And you know, and he must have played it for a long time because he was really good at it. And one day I made the joke, "Hey Santa Claus," well, this is when I was 15 or so, "Hey Santa Claus, there's something you could get me if you wanted to." And he's like, "What's that, Jerry?" And I said, "I want a woman." And he said, and he started giggling and laughing, you know, doing the ho 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 thing. And he had a jolly ho ho ho. I mean, his ho 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 was so good, you couldn't even tell he wasn't trying. You couldn't tell if you didn't know that he wasn't the real Santa Claus. And my grandma and grandpa did this party every year. They bought lots of food, made lots of food. It was a good time. It was a party that went beyond the party. It was tradition. And when you went to grandma's house for Christmas time, the best thing I can think of that I can remember was the smell of the ham and the smell of all the stuff they were making. Because we used to get there pretty early, and and one night, when my grandpa says to me, "Hey," and he punched me in the arm. "What?" He said, "I'm going to make some blue motorcycles for the Christmas party." This is when I was just turning 19. And he says, "I'm going to make some blue motorcycles for the Christmas party." And he says, "All right." I never had one of them. He said, "You can have one when you come to the Christmas party." So, okay. Well, they got this little penguin wine. It was called Little Penguin. And I remember this. It was something that, you know, they got their hands on or someone left behind in a room at my mom's, where my mom used to work, which was, I think it was at the time, was Bavarian and Lodge, or it might have been Fairfield, but I forgot which one. And they got this damn bottle of wine that tasted like vinegar and salt. And they cracked it open, got the cork out of the bastard. And I was drinking that all night long with, sugar in it. Because I couldn't take the damn taste of it. But I drank the whole bottle on my own. It was pretty good wine. It got me drunker than hell. Yeah, but it was a good time. We had a good time, and everybody was partying down and having a good time. That's my favorite party of all. That was one of the last parties we had. Before Grandpa and Grandma didn't do it anymore. I think that year, no, it was older than, I think I was older than 19, because that year my grandma got really sick. She, she died unexpectedly on us, because a blood clot went from her leg up into her lung and lodged in there, and she didn't get to the hospital in time. The blood clot completely blocked off her supply of oxygen, and she was out for 26 minutes. So it destroyed her brain matter, and it killed it. So they just pulled the plugs, because my grandpa didn't have a lot of money, and we sure as hell weren't going to sit there and wait for it to happen. I wish we would have, but we couldn't, because, you know, she just didn't come around, you know. And so after that, there was no more Christmas parties. There was a very, very few Christmas parties. And that was in 2008. And after that happened, everything started declining. There was hardly no Christmas party. And it was kind of sad. But, you know, it's something sad. But it happens. Death is a bitch. But then, let me tell you a story about my dad. My dad was, my dad used to decorate, like, big time for Christmas at our old house. On M13, we had a house. It was, not very big. It was a one-story house. But it was really awesome inside. I loved that house. I knew everywhere in that house. I knew the bathroom. I knew where everything was. I knew everywhere. I knew the outside where the trees were. I miss those plum trees and apple trees out back and all that. And this is kind of a reminiscent thing for me, because in 2013, my house was taken away from us by a greedy prick bank that decided that since we couldn't afford the payments, instead of working with us, they completely told us to get fucked and get out of the house, basically. They foreclosed on it. And my asshole next-door neighbor on the right side of me, named Bobby, he's a smart ass. I wanted to punch him right in his face. Anyway, he bought the house and everything, and now he's, I don't know what the hell he's doing with it. And pretty much don't care, because it ain't my house anymore. But when it was our house, we had a fence going down the driveway. That way I knew how to get out to the bus, because I knew when I hit the big pole that came to the end to stop, because I had to stand by the road. But I didn't know where the road was. So they built a fence, my dad did, all the way down the driveway, out of plywood, and, not plywood, I'm sorry, the size of a 2x4, well, kind of like that, only longer. So it was just a regular wood fence that went down. It wasn't like a picket fence or nothing like that, it was just a wood fence. And it went all the way down the driveway, kind of like rails, so I could find my way down the driveway. And, a true story, that fence was lit up all the time. They had put all sorts of different garlands on it, all sorts of different stuff, big light bulbs. And I remember when I used to go down in the driveway and snap them with my cane, and hit them with my cane, and get, don't hit the fucking lights. I'm like, why? It was always fun. My dad used to get so pissed at me because I used to take my cane and smack it. But I never broke any bulbs or nothing. He's like, don't hit the fucking lights. He's like, why? He's like, you're going to break one of them bulbs. And the lights are all going to go out, and I'm going to have to find out what fucking bulb you broke. Okay. We had a big Merry Christmas sign up and a big angel. Big, you know, it was a framework that made into an angel. And there was one that made into the words Merry Christmas going across our driveway. We had a big arch that went up, that he put up. And on the arch was where we put all the cool decorations, like all the different, and it was really beautiful. It was like it looked, when he turned on every single light, you'd think that an airplane was going to fly by and land in our house, because every light in that thing would shine. It was just something. And still takes me back today. And I wish that someday I could go back. And I do a lot of my memories, but I can't go back no more. The song, "The House That Built Me," comes to mind because when we left that old house, I did a radio show that ended with that song. And it was hard for me to end the show because I knew that we were leaving forever. I would never do another show at that house again. And I would never be able... And before I left my room that day, I was standing in my room. My room. The room that was always mine. And I couldn't... I didn't want to leave. I just stood there, watching them take everything down so we could move it to a new house on North Michigan. And I kept thinking back about Christmas time there and what Christmas was like there with all the lights and all the sounds and the, you know, all that just come to mind. That was Christmas for me. Now Christmas is just a memory. Because my dad's gone, my grandma's gone, and my uncle's gone. Now, my Uncle Gary, he was the kind of guy, he'd do anything for you in the world if you didn't piss him off. If you did, though, look out, that bastard could fight. And he did it every fucking time you pissed him off. He was a mean old boy, but he's a big boy. He was a big boy. He must have weighed about 300 pounds. 300 pounds of, you know, power. That dude could fuck your day up real quick. One shot and you were out. He was a big boy. My dad and him went around and around a number of damn times. And they used to beat each other up all the fucking... And it was a good time, but never give them guys whiskey. That shit would go down. My dad was always like that. You know, and it's just something thinking about, you know, Christmas time. Now, I'll tell you a story about him. Me and him, we used to, because he used to live with us for a while. He was one, you know, he was our extra living person, or you want to call, you know, like a roommate person, or whatever you want to call. And it was a good time. My mom and him were real close, you know, things like that. So he stayed when my dad left. I will not get into why. Anyway. So, we used to sit out and watch the Christmas story about the fella, the little fella that got the BB gun to shoot out his eye. "You're going to shoot your eye out, kid. You're going to shoot your eye out." "No, I won't." Gets a BB gun, shoots himself in the fucking eye. He forgot his glasses. Or something. No, I think it hit his glasses and his glasses went in his eye. He shot his eye out. Yeah. And then they went out to check on him and burnt the damn turkey and had to go and have Christmas at a restaurant because they burnt it down. Oh. Anyway, it's a good movie. Check it out next time you get a chance. The Christmas Story. The little boy and his name was Ralphie. Yeah. And, my favorite line in the whole movie was this is one kid that used to bully Ralphie all the damn time. He used to get picked on a lot, so he beat this kid's ass. They got into a fight, and they got into a pretty bad scrape, and all hell broke loose, and they were at school, and you know how the whole thing goes. They sent him home, and you know, patched him up, and he was better the next day, but this is my favorite part. This little prick kept saying, "Oh, I'm going to go stick my tongue on that pole." There was a flagpole. And he's like, "I'm going to put my tongue on it." And Ralphie says, "Go ahead, you little bastard. Do it. I dare you. Stick it all the way on there." And it was frozen. You don't stick your tongue on a frozen light. Anything. Because this shit will stick right to it. He did it. They had to call the fire department. Sure shit. I think that's what started the fight. Anyway. Pretty good movie. I like that movie. But it always reminds me of my Uncle Gary because every week when we'd go there, you know, we'd have a time We watched that movie every Christmas Eve. When my Uncle Gary was alive, we'd watch that movie. Me and him would stay up late at night and watch it. And then Christmas would come. But when I was younger, I tell you a story about my dad. My dad was a pretty heavy drinker. And everybody wanted to know how I didn't know about Santa Claus, how I knew about Santa Claus. Well, I knew because my dad, he kind of got drunk one Christmas that he wasn't supposed to, and he got a little too much with a Jack and Coke. And, I mean, he really got into it. And so, my dad was pretty fucked up. They actually had to pick him up by his belt, hold his belt, and get him to crawl to bed because he was that fucked up. Well, he kept bugging my mom all night long. It's interesting because he kept doing it all night long and pissing my mom off. I thought it was funny. My mom didn't, though. But I was 10. And I remember this because my sister was 1. No, she was just real little then. Because I was 10. And when I turned 11, she turned 1. Anyway, so... my favorite line of all. My mom would say... My mom was trying to go to sleep. Because she knew she had to get up early with his kids. She got the gifts unwrapped. And we're laying there. And I'm, you know... Because at that age, honestly, I ain't gonna lie. You know, I used to sleep in the same room with my mom and my dad because I was scared of the dark. Yeah, I was blind and I'm scared. I'm blind and I was scared of the dark. It's a true story. Every time it would get dark out, I would get scared because I had these bad images of monsters coming after me with horse whips. Yeah, true story. And they used to scare me so bad. And they would come after me, but I finally got smart and outsmarted them. That was on Halloween, you believe it? That was on Halloween, the night when I could finally, and I did finally, sleep by myself was on Halloween. And it was when I turned 12, I finally started to go to sleep on my own. Because I used to have my dad come in and go to sleep next to me so I could sleep. Because I was scared of the dark. Anyway, so there I am laying there in bed. Mom's on one side. Dad's on the other side. Dad kept nudging Mom. Hey, Pam, get up, Pam. And I was like, what? He said, you believe? She said, what? She said, do you believe? She said, believe in what? He said, Santa Claus, you stupid bitch. You believe or not? He did this for 3 times. Finally, my mom said, go to sleep. The kids are trying to sleep, and you're going to wake up the baby. I said, okay. You roll over. Next thing you know, he'd do it again. Bam. Hey, wake up. My mom's like, what? Not again. What? He said, do you believe? It went around and around about 6 times. Well, actually, it was 3, but it felt like 6. My mom was so sick of him by the end of the night. But it was funny. My dad did this every fucking year in Christmas time. He'd get drunker than fuck. One year, he even forgot to wrap our fucking gifts. They just stood out in the fuck. This is a true story. So, I got up one year to go to get my gifts. Saw my sister's Barbie Jeep in shambles. So, I started putting it together, trying to anyways. I got the fucking steering rod in place. I got everything else, but I didn't have the bolts. Because the bolts were in a bag. I didn't know where the hell the bag was. And my mom had to, my mom came with her, what are you doing? And I said, I'm trying to put this together. She goes, what the fuck? Why the fuck isn't this put together? I'm like, I don't know. Oh, my mom was fucking hot. That was when I was 13. Why the fuck didn't you put the kids' gifts together while you went to bed? I was drunk. I love that story. Anyways, that's a true story there. I love this. I love my dad. Me and my dad, man. Something else. My dad was a dick sometimes, and sometimes he wasn't. But I can say that when my dad was, he had his own ways, and he truly was one of those people that just loved the fuck out of Christmas. He always said, I'm gonna love Christmas when I die. I said, why? He said, 'cause I get to see it from up high. That's what he always told me. Well, Dad, I hope you love Christmas as much as I do. And hope you're up there watching down on us while we're having this Christmas party. I wish you could be here, Dad. But I know you're not, so. But I know you're here somewhere. I think that when you die, when people die, I think you can choose where you want to be. You can choose to live through someone else if you want to. And I think my dad has. Now I want to tell y'all a story. I told you guys about this. And the next part of the episode, we're going to talk about getting high. But this is the Christmas episode portion. So I hope you go back during Christmas Eve and listen to this again. Now, my mom, she loves Christmas to death. We have it every year. Well, of course, every year it comes around. But what I mean is we always go to my sister's house, or they always come to our house. And I think this year we're going to go to their house because my nephew's a little prick. He likes to get into shit that he shouldn't. So, yeah, we got to go to my sister's house because we don't want our house tore up. Anyway, thinking about getting a Christmas tree this year, a real Christmas tree this year. And we never had a real Christmas tree before. Because first we had a Christmas tree. It was an old Christmas tree that my mom got from a guy named Tom Winchester, one of my buddies when I was real little. We called him Uncle Tom. He was old and... But he was a sweet guy. The sweetest guy you ever meet. But he would curse like a sailor. My dad and him used to have a good time talking to each other. He'd stop in and tell me to let me pet Boots, his dog. He had a bunch of different dogs. He had Boots. He had, I can't think of the other dog's names, but I remember Boots, because Boots and my dog Shang Li used to play. And I had this really cool dog back in the day. It was named Shang Li. And Shang Li was always a good dog. Every damn time I was crawling around on the floor, if I was going to run into something, that dog would get right up in front of the cupboards and not let me go by it. He'd even bark at me if I was getting too close. He was a very smart dog, and that was a Shih Tzu. And people tell me that Shih Tzus can't be leader dogs. Bullshit. Because I had one named Cooper. Now, Cooper couldn't do as well as he wasn't trained professionally, is why. That's what I think it is. Because I knew that dog knew. And I could tell that dog, hey, I didn't get back up to the house, because, you know, he'd go to the house and tell him that. He was a good dog. My dog Cooper was. But he's gone now. But my all-time favorite dog of all was Chloe Anna. And why was Chloe Anna my favorite? Because Chloe Anna's son was Cooper. But I only got Cooper because nobody wanted him, because he had a fucked up nose. His nose kind of protruded from his face in an angle that looked really ugly, and he had these big teeth in the front. His teeth, he had an overbite. Is it an overbite or underbite? No, it's an overbite. And they used to come down by his mouth. They looked like vampire teeth. It was pretty cool. Don't let him bite you with those fucking teeth, because they hurt like hell. I had him do it a couple times to me. We used to play and he used to bite, and the fucking thing used to hurt. But he was a good dog. But we had to get rid of him because we had too many dogs. And I wanted me a new cat. And the idea was, if you get rid of Cooper, you can get a cat. Okay, got rid of Cooper and got Pearly May. But we had Tigger. Before that, we had Missy. And then, we had Pearly May. But, yeah, Chloe was always the pretty one. She always had to show off and be pretty. And they used to put a dress on her. I have a picture of her on my Facebook where she has her dress on, her Christmas dress that we got her, which looks really pretty, and I can't really describe it. The only way I can describe it is the way I did. So if you get a chance to and you're on my Facebook, check one of my pictures out. It was posted a few weeks ago, I think. Anyway, that's the story about Christmas time for me. And that's what Christmas means to me. But I, my friends, got to get the next part of this podcast underway, so that's part of it, though. Now let's move on to the second part. Before then, though, we got to play a message from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for a great time, but you don't have any music? Well, that sucks. Why not call Mark Jimeno at All Star Entertainment at 989-777-7004. Mark Jimeno has all the latest and greatest in sound, lighting, and DJs to make your party as smooth as it ever has been. So give him a call today. That's Mark Jimeno at All Star Entertainment. You can even ask for me, Jamming Jerry Mader, to come and host your party, if you wish. That number again, get a stick and write it down. 989-777-7004. Don't delay. Call All Star Entertainment today.
All right, we're back once again, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Mader Cast, the second portion. We're going to talk about getting high. Yesterday marks the last day of Prohibition. Okay, I had to make sure my time was still there. Anyway, you'll hear me do that once in a while and check the time. But we're going to talk about it. Get the cock about it before we can talk about it. Anyway, you know, Eminem's cool. Anyway, so there's a story about getting high. I got high for the first time when I was 25 years old. First time ever. Well, really high. I mean, I ate some cookies that were laced with, I'm going to be blunt, laced with marijuana particles. Anyway, I was fucking stoned off my, really what happened, I put in ice cream, and it ate my ice cream up, and it had peanut butter chunks from the peanut butter cookies that were blazed with marijuana. I ate the whole damn thing. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. I ate the whole damn thing. It was all gone in probably 10 minutes. I was hungry. No more ice cream. So it was all gone. And then I didn't have a bowl. I had a whole fucking carton. So the first night I got stoned, I didn't know what to do with myself because I kept hearing weird sounds. I was having a bad trip. But that didn't stop me. I kept on going. And I learned about how to do it right. And then I started doing it right. Then my mom never knew because I kept a little bag of those cookies in my drawer. They were just cookie crumbs. They were smashed. Somehow they got smashed up. My buddy Jimmy gave them to me. My birthday. And we just had a little bit at a time. Till I got it right. So, anyway. But since then, I prefer getting high over getting drunk. Let me tell you why I prefer that. Because if you get drunk, there's happy drunks, there's sad drunks, there's angry drunks, there's all kinds of different drunks. When you're high, you're just high. You know, you're not mean, you're not rude, you're mellow, man. You know, you're mellow and you're relaxed up. You know, you don't have to really worry about that. So you're all good to go. Well, a lot of people, okay, a lot of people, they don't understand us. Because all their lives, they were told drugs are bad for you. Marijuana is not a drug, but they thought it was. Because they were brainwashed by the government to think that way. And the reason they were brainwashed like that is because it was a racial thing. They couldn't tell blacks they couldn't go and vote and all this. Because it started in 1934, I think. When the first drug czar came into view. His name was Harry. And I could never pronounce his last name, but his name was Harry. And he was a prick. And he made it illegal for anyone to smoke cannabis, which at the time they made up a name, marijuana. The name marijuana is, is not the real name of the plant. The real name of the plant is cannabis. But cannabis has an ingredient called cannabidiol, or cannabidiol, I'll get it right. And there's different properties of cannabidiol. You can also get it from hemp, but hemp was considered like marijuana. You couldn't sell it, you couldn't do nothing with it. And they made a lot of really cool things out of hemp, like rope, and clothes, and paper. Hemp paper is the strongest paper ever. And that's why they tried to stop hemp. Because hemp was a paper maker. And it was way better than any wood paper you could ever have. And it saved the damn trees. Because it would continuously keep going, growing and whatever. And you could have a whole bunch of it. You can have a bunch of trees too, but trees give you oxygen. You need the trees around. But hemp is what it's made for. Now, one thing about hemp that people don't realize is it's really strong. It makes things that are very strong. Like, if you have a hemp rope versus a cloth rope, the cloth rope can be cut through. It's a fucking hemp rope, you better have a nice fucking knife, because that fucker's going to be dull by the end you get done. It's very tough. And if the government would have been smart, they would have left hemp alone. Because you can make clothes out of it, and you can make all kinds of stuff out of it. Anyway, that's beside the point. We're talking about cannabis here. Now, cannabidiol can be derived from hemp, just like it can be derived from marijuana. And what CBD is, CBD is the component of the marijuana that you don't get high from, but you can get, it helps with things like different sicknesses, different illnesses. There's tons and tons and tons of ways it helps. And you can buy hemp CBD anywhere. And you can go to easewellness.com. That's EAZE Wellness, WELLNESS.com, and get yourself some good hemp CBD products. If you're in California and you want cannabis products, you can get that from EAZE.com, EAZE.com. But you can only do that if you're in California, where EAZE is available. You can do that, which is kind of neat, right? Pretty cool stuff. So, to me, the government made a big mistake, and to me, I like getting high. You know why I like getting high? Not because it's fun. No, I like getting high because I'm clairaudient. And it brings out more, it makes the clairaudience stand out in my, where I can go there faster and better. I can channel better when I'm high. Channeling is a method of bringing someone to life who's been dead for a long time. but you can bring them to life in the voice. You can bring them to life whatever way you want. For me, it's with their voice. When I do my Ray Charles stuff, I'm usually pretty fucked up. I'm pretty high. And I can do Ray Charles perfect. I can bring him back to life, kind of, with the way that I am. You know, I'm not black. I don't turn black or nothing. And I'm not being offensive. I'm just being... But I can talk so similar to him when I'm high. And I can go into that mode and just run with it. And I'm more like sing. I don't do many, you know. But I did Georgia one night live at the bar, so stoned that you couldn't. And I listened back to it, and I'm like, "Who the fuck is that?" It was me doing Ray Charles's voice, and I didn't even recognize my own voice. I didn't even know who I was. And I was like, "Really?" And when the hell did they record this Ray Charles song? And that's a true story. I didn't know I recorded. I didn't know I was singing. Well, I knew I was singing it, right? But I didn't know I sounded that good. Now, before I go to the Beamer's on Tuesdays, that's a bar in Bertram with karaoke and stuff, I don't drink at that bar. Very rarely will you ever see me pick up a drink. If I'm drinking, it's just because I'm doing it socially. And I was feeling my oats pretty good one night, but I don't get drunk like that. I drink Bloody Marys. But the thing with me, with what I do, is when I'm high, I just want to be left alone, you know? And I want to go into my places where I go. I want to go to my other home. And I want to go there and go in there and relax in my other home, in my heavenly body. Because you have two different bodies. You have a body here and you got a body there. Well, I visit there and I go to that body. And I use that body a lot to get around in the heavenly world. There is a such thing called heaven. And no matter what you believe, there's no such thing called hell. You can believe it if you want to believe it, but I don't know why you are, because you're wasting your fucking time. There ain't no such thing as hell. If there is, it's right here on Earth. Look at all the shit that happens here. You got people killing each other. Does that happen in heaven? No. Because we're all too damn peaceful up there. We're all peaceful. We don't want to kill no one. People that do kill people, well, they go right back through the left door and they come right back to Earth. Why? So they can learn to be better people. The left door is the door you don't want to go in. You want to go to the right door, or straight. Well, actually, the right door is the holding place. That's where people that commit suicide, or people that know they're not quite dead, or I mean, people that know that their life was meaningless because they put an end to it too early, would go there and they get help. And they get better. And they go to the main door, which is straight down. Now, I've been there. I traveled. I saw my own reflection, and I was at the scanning machine, and I got to see my whole life flash before me. This is when I took 2 Vicodins on accident. I didn't know how strong they were, and I overdosed. Opioid crisis is not a fucking joke. It's really bad. It's sad and it's bad. And I feel bad for people that have it, that are addicted to that. I feel very, very bad about people that are very addicted. And I want to help them, but you can't help somebody who's addicted. They won't listen to you. They just won't. And they don't know they're even addicted. But they are. Because they'll say things like, I'm not addicted. Fuck you. You're fucking stupid. I just want this for the pain. No, you want it because your body's telling you it. And you know, your body can artificially make pain where there shouldn't be no pain to begin with. Your body can do that. Your brain does it to you to trick you. Like, you need more of this. You know you want it. Come get it. Come on. Take another pill. You're going to be in more pain if you don't. And then it starts to increase the pain sensitivity. Then you really are in more pain. And you really are feeling that pain. I know. Before I started smoking weed, I was a pill addict. And I was heavy. Not like where I would go steal for any or nothing like that. I don't believe in stealing. I don't ever steal. But I would, I would make myself be in pain. Not make myself, but my body would be in so much pain, I'd go to the hospital. Or I'd go get, and I used to get like 90 of them a time. I got 90 every time. They wrote me 90 Vicks. They were 750s. And I'd take two, be better. And it wouldn't make me high. It would just get rid of all my pain. My pain would go away. And some people need that medicine. I'm not saying they don't. I had to have some when I got my damn tooth pulled out because it was in so much pain. But no doctor would give it to me because they thought I was a drug addict. And I wasn't. I was a little bit, but I wasn't full-fledged. And I would get really angry, like, how are you going to do that to me? I need this medicine. And I did, because my body thought it needed it. But now I got, the CBD and stuff, and I feel better when I take that stuff. Because it gets rid of the pain. All pain goes away. In my tooth or whatever. Whatever is causing me pain. All my bad memories goes away too. But yep, I've been through it all. I saw things nobody's ever saw. I got to see where the angels sing. There is a place called the Hall of Sounds. Or the Hall of Tone. And you go in there, and there's there's 6 different floors. The first floor is the one where all angels sing. When you walk past that room, it's like walking into a choir. It's like walking into a 5-dimensional choir. You got like maybe 200 bass. You got 200 freaking everything. 200 baritone, 200 alto, 200 tenor. It's all branched. There's more than 200, but I'm just going for a regular, just a roundabout number. You imagine that? Think about it now. 200 people in each section. And if you ever listen to choir music or you listen to a cappella music, that is badass. That is top of the cake. But they don't just sing Christian songs like people think. They sing other stuff. Other songs. Earthly songs or songs they've made from an earthly song or, it's so cool. The things they can do. So that's truly a thing. And I like to go to the 4th floor a lot. Because on the 4th floor is where all my country heroes are. And that's the country division. We sing bluegrass, we sing country, old country. Not talking about this new shit, this pop country bullshit. Nobody likes it. Up there, you're not allowed to sing it. because if you want to do that, that's on the sixth floor, on the way top. When you're up there, I don't go there, so I don't know what's up there. All I know is they're not allowed to come to the fourth floor. If you go there, you get sent out of the building, and you're barred from going back in it. There's one guy that you go to. His name is Clarence. And Clarence, we call him Clarence for short. As in Clarence, as in, can I do this? But his real name is Clarence, with an A. Not an E. A. But he's a kind fella, and I love talking to him. He's old. Older than me. He's from like the 1300s. And he is very British. And he'll tell you if you can go in there or not. He'll give you the ticket. You go through the door. You put your ticket in the bucket. And away you go. You can go anywhere you want. But you have to have that ticket in your bucket, because if they come around and they don't see your ticket, then you are barred. You have to make sure you have your ticket. Especially if you want to watch any of the movies, the concerts that go on in the concert hall, which is on the third floor. That's a beautiful hall. They got gold and silver things that hang down that are like balls, but they light up. And it's so cool because they light up with sunlight, like kind of light. It's just interesting. And there's like little orbs that you can have, that you pick up, and there's like a ball. It's like a ball, and you can throw them when you want to make a request for a song, for example, at the concert hall. You can throw this ball of orb of light. You have to be able to throw pretty far. Me, I'm not a thrower. I'm a catcher. So I end up catching all these balls of light, and they're hot, but they're not hot like burn your hand, but they're warm. They're hot. They're kind of hot, warm. And so you grab them, and you, with the mitt, and it puts them out, and put them back in the bucket. And that's what I do sometimes when I'm there. And I like to play with them because they give me lots of energy. And then I can take some of that energy back with me to Earth. Yep, true story. So there you go. Now you know what I do when I get high. I go up to the third floor of the concert hall. It's the concert hall section of the Hall of Sounds or Hall of Tones, whichever way you want to put it. And play with balls. Hot balls. Okay. So, yeah. That's when I'm not on stage at the present time. If I'm in a building where I've got to have my focus on me, I mean my focus on something else, then I'm focused, you know? And I don't bounce out of my own body, I just do what's called a grounded check, which means I can use my head like a radio station kind of would. I can tune into things. I can tune out and tune in, tune out and see, and I can bounce in between the two, and I can hear very well both of them at the same time. It's like being able to listen to your favorite radio station all the time, whenever you want, just by thinking about it. It's kind of like that. But the idea, oh, by the way, before I forget to tell you, the idea of the orbs, when you could throw the orbs to get requests, is because each orb has your color. You have a spiritual color. And if you throw that orb up on the stage, it'll, when it hits, their stage is up in the air. When it goes over them, I don't know how it works. I don't know if it's kinetic or what. But I do know it somehow gets their attention. when you see a fucking light ball coming at you about 100 miles an hour, some of these guys can throw far. I just ain't got the hang of throwing yet, so I still just catch until I learn to throw. And you can practice. There's a practice room throwing these balls around. I don't like that room because I ended up dodging every one of them. Just like down here on Earth, I'm blind when I'm up there. I don't get my sight back. Contrary to what people believe, I don't get my sight back. I have to stay blind up there, because if I go back to my body with my sight, I'll have my sight again. And there's a reason that God put me here. I don't know what it is yet. But whatever it is, He don't want me to have my sight. True. And that's just how it is. But I love people. So I'm always shaking hands with all the great people up there. My best friend up there is an angel. And his name is Margot. It's like a girl's name, huh? It is down here. But up there is a guy's name. And Margo's a pretty good guy. He's smart. He's cool. Tells me things I never knew about. That's how I know so much about history. Because of Margo. I didn't learn shit in school. I'll tell you the truth, I didn't learn shit in school because I was too busy not wanting to be there because of the fire alarm. Because these kids would pull it on purpose to piss me off. Then you know I was scared of it. So yes, that really happened. Anyway. Margo is a great guy. I'm glad he's an angel. Because he's one of the archangels. The ones that help you in time of trouble. Alright. We got kind of cut off. Sorry about that. This is still the portion about getting high. I just got cut off. Anyway, he's an archangel. He's really cool. Archangels help people when they're in need. And that's Margo. Margo kind of reminds me, he's a cross, if I had to say, between the late great. His voice is kind of a cross. I just whistled. That didn't sound so good. Sorry about that. My teeth make that sound sometimes. But he is a cross between the late great Casey Kasem and one of my buddies here on Earth, Johnny Burke. Kind of a cross. They kind of intersect. I guess the voices do, and I don't know how to explain it. He's got a really rich tone, and you can hear it. And he's really kind, and he always helps me with things. Anyway, I hang out with him a lot when I'm there. And I tell him about people on Earth, like, you know, people like my friend Haley, and people like my friends all over here, you know, and all my new friends I get. I talk to him about them. I was just there earlier, and I told him about my new friends I made, my friend Dakota and my friend Steven. And he said, yeah, they're great people. I know them. They just don't know me. He said, I'm in their division. And what he means is, if something happens, he's the first one that comes and kind of saves their life. If there were, you know, if he can help them, it's his duty to do so. And that's just Margo. But I didn't know that at the time. Everyone has a specific angel that they watches. I'm watched over by Margot. Because we became friends. Took me on. I think, for example, there's someone listening to the podcast right now. And probably asking themselves who my angel is. I know you're listening right now, and I know you want to know. So I'll tell you who your angel is. The person that I'm talking to, her name is Erica. Erica, your angel is a girl named Sylvia. She's a 10-year-old, well, kind of a 10-year-old mind. But that doesn't mean she's not smart. It just means that's just her personality. And she's very kind, Sylvia. But Sylvia can be erratic sometimes. And the division leader in your section, if Sylvia doesn't come to help you, is a guy named Galen. And his nickname is Gale. He's very kind, good-natured, you know, and that's just Gale. But Gale is also, Gale was given the task of keeping one of the most popular country music stars today in check. And if I tell you who it is, which I can't do, you'll wonder why he's lived so damn long. Because of Gale. Gale is a very strict, not hard-nosed, just strict. He likes to make sure his people are going to live past their point. See, he's always trying to strive. Okay? That's just Gale. But Gale pushes people on. He's a driver, but he's not a mean person. He just likes to make sure people are good. But yes, and Abby, I know you're listening too, and you wondering the same thing. Well, you always seem to be curious about this kind of thing. And answering your question, Gale is your angel as well. But he's also a leader of a huge division of them. Mine, the division I'm in, is division A/3. And my leader is a guy named, well, my leader is a guy named Lou. And Louie is a very kind, good-hearted person. But Louie doesn't really do his job well. He gets sidetracked. He gets a little off base. So he doesn't keep up with things like Gale does. And he doesn't push for it. So whatever happens to you, happens to you. And he just doesn't care. That's why it's like I am, why I'm like I am. Because I just don't care. I'm like Lou. One of my friends died, as you know, Barbie, and I want to pay respects to Barbie right now. So if we can have a moment of silence at this time for one of the coolest, kindest, sweetest, wonderfulest ladies in the entire world, would you all bow your heads? Of a moment of silence for Barb K. Thorne DePatie, who is now in that lovely place called heaven. Barbie, you will forever be in my mind, and you were always a sweet, loving person to me. And your family is always a part of my family and will forever be. Don't worry, I'll see you often. But I know right now ain't that time. But you know, when I come up there, you can always say hi. Come on over and visit me. I can tell you stories about Mark. And we can relay stories back and forth. Well, Barbie, the song's for you. Sorry, guys, I'm going to sing a song. Girl, you're looking fine tonight. There we go, I just turned off my battery pack. Let me try this again. Girl, you're looking fine tonight. And every guy has got you in his sights. What you're doing with a clown like me is surely one of life's little mysteries. So tonight I'll ask the stars above, how did I ever win your love? What did I do and what did I say to turn your angel eyes my way? Rest in peace, Barb. This is going to end our podcast. Thank you all for joining us. I'm Jamming Jerry Mader. And until next time, folks.